Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We're so glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues of men and women who have been released from incarceration. We've got a great show for you today. On the show today is a Mr. Larry D. Thomas. Now, not only has Larry in 2008 been named the Texas Poet Laureate, but prior to that career, he was 15 years the head of the Harris County Adult Probation Department, and Larry is our guest on the show today. We're going to tap his brain about post-incarceration life. We've got more coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to tell you what's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks on The Journey of Hope. Next week, we're going to have author James P. Krabiel. He has written a book about overcoming our childhood traumas, and he has some excellent things to say to ex-offenders. And then we have the one and only Ray Hill the following week. If you don't know who Ray is the host of a 30-year running program called The Prison Show, and we're going to talk to Ray about post-incarceration life. So those are coming up in the next couple of weeks, so be sure you stay tuned. This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you just say sorry. A world's been not a different story. Hey, this is Rodney Mathers. Welcome back to The Journey of Hope. We have on the phone here with us Larry D. Thomas. Larry is a graduate of the University of Houston with a BA degree in English Literature. In 1998, he retired from a career in adult criminal justice. The last 15 years of career, he spent as the branch director of the Harris County Adult Probation Department. And since his retirement, Larry has had two very distinguished careers. And since his retirement, he's been employed as a full-time poet and has five books, I believe. Is that right, Larry? You have five books?
Well, it's 10 now.
Do you really? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to provide links to those later. Larry's won numerous awards, and among those honors, Larry was named the Texas Poet Laureate for 2008 by the Texas Legislature. Larry, how are you?
Fine, Rodney.
I'm glad you could be on the show, and it's the first.
I appreciate the invitation.
Well, it's the first part of your career I want to focus on first, and then we'll talk about your writing a little bit later. I thought maybe we could get started by talking a little bit about the differences between probation and parole. What are the differences?
To put it in a nutshell, one gets probation in lieu of being sentenced to the Texas Department of Corrections. It's often received by first offenders or folks who haven't been convicted of very many crimes. And as long as they're satisfactorily complying with terms and conditions of probation that are set by their court that place them on probation, their prison sentence is deferred. And if they complete their probation successfully, they never have to go behind bars.
That's the deferred
probation.
The deferred adjudicated that I've heard about, I guess, where it goes off your record at some point.
Right.
But people, when they're on
probation. Deferred adjudication is pretty common now, again, mm-hmm. primarily for first offenders, because it keeps your record reasonably clean of mm-hmm. any convictions, which I'm sure you probably know from personal experience is very, very important.
Isn't that the truth?
Out there trying to get a job.
That is absolutely the truth. When people on probation, do they use ankle monitors and have house arrest and that sort of thing?
Yes, they don't. They do the more serious offenders, you know, for the more serious crimes, mm-hmm. sometimes get house arrest. But the average probationer comes and goes like an ordinary citizen. If he leaves Harris County, he has to get a travel permit from his probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they have pretty much complete freedom of movement within the county.
Is the probation department part of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice? Is it TDC?
No, it really isn't.
It's
not. They're under the auspices of the Department of Criminal Justice, which sets their standards and things like that. But mm-hmm. they're under the local jurisdiction of the district courts of Harris County and the criminal courts of Harris County.
I see. Well, when you think back on your career prior to your supervisory role in adult probation, when you were working directly with adults on probation, what stands out in your mind the most?
Well, what stands out in my mind most is that probationers are like any other human beings. They pretty much are drawn from the entire spectrum of society. And I would always open my interview, my first interview with the probationers assigned to me, with this. But for the grace of God, I could be sitting in your chair and you could be sitting in mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that quite unusual.
Yeah, I think I would find that unusual given my experience.
But I'm not perfect. Any of us who consume alcohol, even socially,
mm-hmm.
Especially in our early years of quasi-recklessness, drive under the influence of alcohol. That's just an example of what I'm talking about.
Before we
have a faulty taillight, could we not be pulled over?
Right.
And if if the officer smells booze, there you go. You either agree to submit to a breathalyzer or take a sobriety test.
The interesting point, it's a real interesting point that you bring up there, because when I was incarcerated, I was immediately struck with the fact that there is a broad section of society that is serving time in prison. It was not what I was expecting. And, I knew guys in there that
were... A lot of intelligent, creative, and dynamic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you remember thinking back on the times when you were... when you had direct contact with, had a caseload and so forth.
Yes.
What was the area in which you saw probationers struggling the most in?
Jobs.
Yeah.
They would either lie about being on probation to get a job, and then it would mm-hmm. surface later and they'd get fired, or they'd be honest and have a heck of a lot of difficulty finally breaking through the door of employment.
Did you?
I would say jobs, and then for those who had substance abuse issues, it was staying clean.
Uh-huh.
It's a constant fight for people who like to drink or who like to do drugs. I mean, they do them for usually several reasons,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to break away from it.
Did you have employment suggestions for people? Were you able to help people find jobs?
Yes, I was, and a lot of listeners are not going to like what I have to say about this, but I committed to you that I was going to speak in an unabashedly honest fashion and from my heart and from my experience. I encouraged my probationers to be totally honest with their status when they applied for a job, and then they didn't have to always look over their shoulder and wonder if their employer was going to find out they're on probation and fire them, for
right.
misrepresenting something. So I would always say that don't keep your hopes too high, because you probably won't be able to get as good a job as you got before you were placed on probation, because you have to re-earn the respect of your other folks in the community.
Correct. Yeah.
And that takes a lot of effort.
Dealing with the expectation level can be a difficult bite of reality there.
it can, because in order to just get a job, you might have to take something that you feel is beneath you and that in terms of your qualifications is, in fact, beneath you. But you start small. It's like a kid learning to walk. You take small steps, and you bounce around a little bit, and you fall. Then you can take bigger steps and eventually run.
Hey, listen, I'm curious. Could you tell early on when you met a probationer if they were going to have a successful probationary period or not? Could you tell?
You know, it's hard to tell because the human nature being as incredibly complex as it is, first impressions are often about as far away from reality as one can get. I remember a lot of probationers that I thought were going to really have a tough time staying out of prison, making it. And I remember others that seemed to have a lot going for them, getting busted and failing. So I really, you know, think you have to go by the behaviors they exhibit and the facts that you know about them and try to avoid the assumptions.
That's
risky business.
I agree. And what was the people that did get in trouble, what was the most common violation that you would see?
Drugs. You know, when they'd submit to a urine test, they'd get busted for substances in their system.
And how would the consequence work on that? They would go back?
It depended on the court. You know, some courts are a lot stricter than others. Most courts would try to steer them into rehab,
right,
and get them treatment, which I was all in favor of. And others that are real draconian and severe, and we won't name names, that may not serve a purpose, but others seem to be just looking for a way to hammer somebody. And, you know, if they slip, they put them in prison.
Exactly.
Again, I preferred very much working with the former group who would try to really give probationers a chance to reform themselves, rehabilitate themselves, or habilitate themselves. You know, a lot of folks just have it rough. I mean, you know, they have a rough home life. They don't have role models from mother and dad. They grow up on the streets, so what do you expect?
I know it. That's absolutely correct.
It's tough, and I tried to always keep that in mind. But I did think it was important for them to know they weren't on probation to Larry Thomas. They were on probation to a specific court, and I made it very clear to them what those expectations were from the court. But if they would be honest with me and work with me, and they were to slip occasionally, that doesn't mean I did not go to bat for them as their probation officer, because I did.
I've noticed that, you know, I was on parole, and I think there are a lot of parallels between a probationary period.
There are a lot in terms of the supervision. You know, their parolees have a parole officer instead of a probation officer, but they do much the same thing, really.
Yeah, and I was wondering about that, and also, you know, saw cases where, you know, there were officers that were willing to work with people on their caseload, and then there were others that weren't.
And a lot of probation officers have social services backgrounds. They have majors in psychology or sociology, social work, and they go into the profession because they like to help people. And then there are others that go in to flaunt their badge and use it as a billy club to hammer whoever's inside.
But the thing is,
I think those folks are the ones who belong in prison. If you want to know how I feel about that, because authority is a precious gift.
It is.
And if it's abused, it should carry a heinous penalty.
Well, how would
Mr. Thomas's opinion.
I greatly appreciate your candor, and I'm sure the people listening do too. You know, so let's just say for example, we've got somebody listening maybe that's got a probation officer or a parole officer that they're having a hard time getting along with. What kinds of suggestions would you give to a parolee or a probationer in that situation?
first of all, I would tell them to proceed with extreme caution, because the probation, if it's their word against the probation officers, 9 times out of 10, the probation officer is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that they examine themselves and try to understand what the officer is frustrated about. And if they're not, you know, taking care of their business the way they're supposed to take care of business, get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to let the personality of the officer get in the way.
Right.
I mean, just blank them out if they can. To the extent that they're able to, just stick to the requirements that they face. Focus on that and don't pay a lot of attention to how professional or how nice a probation officer may be.
Mm-hmm. So
again, I'm just being honest, because you know you don't want the officer to develop a real negative attitude toward you and see you as a problem maker, especially if they shouldn't even have the job in the first place. They're just looking for an opportunity to take you back before the court.
And since you don't get to pick who is your officer,
you bet you're stuck with the luck of the draw, my man.
That's right.
How you end up in, you know, in a court.
Well, we tell people on the show. We tell people on the show all the time that in that situation, a little butt kissing is not a bad idea. So,
well, if you want to call it that, you know, just humoring up to someone, I think is a better term, but.
Mm-hmm.
Butt kissing is butt kissing, but if that can save you from going to TDC, get pretty good at it. You know, just don't carry it to extremes to the point that you're living a lie and you can't live with yourself.
Right.
But suck a lot of stuff up.
Right. I like that advice. You know, Larry, you spent so many years working in the Harris County Adult Probation Department, and given the fact that you worked your way up from a probation officer to a supervisor, and then ultimately, I believe it was a branch director. You've got a unique perspective of the big picture. So I want to through with the softball questions. I want to throw a couple of hardballs at you.
Sure.
Okay. Is probation as effective as incarceration?
I think it's more effective than incarceration. Because I think incarceration is so lacking in true rehabilitation and vocational resources, and there are some bad apples. You know, I'm not saying there aren't some real bad apples in the human species, but there are some really tough characters that only operate with violence. And if you go to TDC, you're subjected to God knows what. And it's just real hard to come out of a prison experience, certainly in the state of Texas, with your head on right. That's been my observation. You may disagree with me, but
I do believe that
I think we have a very primitive prison system, and we don't give rehabilitation near the emphasis it deserves. And we've got way too many people behind bars for relatively minor drug infractions. And then they go into TDC and they learn how to be a real criminal,
right,
friend.
You're right. Unless someone really wants to change, and that's what the show's about. So
we all have issues, and many people end up getting in crossways with the law and going to prison because of issues. By issues, I mean emotional problems, difficulties, substance abuse problems. And they really need help to address those problems. And to what extent resources are available in TDC, I would encourage them to go out of their way to take full advantage of everything. Because when they get out of prison and stand before a potential employer, they can hammer that out. Look, this, I know I had a problem, and this is what I've done to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. And then they have some ammunition, you know, something to encourage a potential employer to give them a chance. All they need is a chance. If they get that chance, it's their responsibility to make the most of it.
So you would be in favor of, you know, more treatment, less time?
Anything. Vocational, you know, whatever vocational training is available, computers. just anything that makes them a better person or increases their skills in the job market, because that's what they can emphasize when they go to their potential employer.
Larry, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit.
Yeah.
On the Journey of Hope, I'm always urging the listeners to get a hobby. And the reason I do that is I think it's okay to have some downtime, but I also feel like too much downtime can be a bad thing for some of us. And there might be someone listening that wants to try their hand at writing, or maybe writing poetry. And
you say something very important. I call what you're talking about a hobby, a passion.
A passion, absolutely.
And it's what makes us and why we live. A job is a means to an end, and
absolutely,
not an end in itself.
Well, what suggestions?
And if we can just hang on to something that we do well, so a craft, or mechanics, or it building something, or writing something, or painting, or getting into music, it gives us something to live for. So what you just said, I think, is one of the most important to come out of this conversation.
Well, what suggestions would you have for someone who was wanting to try a little writing, or maybe write some poetry? Of course, we probably couldn't do it at your level, but...
That's all right. You don't start off that way. Mm-hmm. First, you need to read.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really interested in writing, you're obviously interested in words, and read. Read good stuff, you know, and it might be stuff you hated in school that you want to revisit. But I learned so much from just reading good authors and how they put words together and, you know, fashioned an interesting story, you know, that really pulled me in. And there are all kinds of workshops you can take, continuing education workshops that Rice University sponsors every summer. And they go into the craft of writing, you know, and have you do some experimental writing, and they critique it. And there are all kinds of services like that available to people that really want to take it seriously.
I saw several guys in prison that had never written before and were trying to write poetry and so forth.
Right.
If one of those guys wanted to try to get published, maybe, what would you, what kind of suggestions would you have for them?
What I would do is refer them to the writers, the Poets Market book that's published by Writer's Digest. And, you know, I'm not affiliated with, in any way, with Reader's Digest, and I don't get a nickel from anybody like that. But it's basically, it has a listing of all of the publications that publish poetry, what type of poetry they publish, whether they're likely to publish beginners or more experienced poets. And it was a Bible to me when I first started trying to get into print. Poets Market, Writer's Digest books.
Hey, in your work,
get a copy for $25 to $30 at any bookstore.
Okay, I'll put it up as a link, as along with some of your other stuff here.
And if you can get to know a writer, you know, like me, that you can have coffee with every once in a while, and I mean, as poet laureate, I dedicated a lot of my time to spending some time with younger, budding poets and fiction writers. You know, that really were serious about improving their craft and doing something with it. And I know, you know, there are a lot of people that you can hook up with if they feel you're really dedicated, you know, to doing what it takes. And I'll be honest with you, it's a lot of hard work, like anything else, you know, that people excel in. You've got to roll up the sleeves.
Well, I've listened to you reading your poetry, and I've seen some of your poetry, and it's absolutely...
You're very articulate, by the way.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that.
You're quite a wordsmith yourself. Do you do some creative writing?
I don't know.
You do. Of course, this isn't supposed to be about me or you, I guess, in that way, but you're very articulate.
Well, listen, I encourage everyone to check out your website. I'm going to put a link up next to the podcast so they can do that. And I think that link would also take them to your books. I thought there were five books. I didn't know there were 10.
Button. There's a contact button on my website where they can get my email address. And if they'll email me, you know, if they have specific questions, as quickly as I can get around to responding, I will respond, and I'll try to steer them in a direction that will help them. So make them feel free to contact me on my contact
number. We'll sure take advantage of that, Larry, and I want to thank you so much for being here today. Larry Thomas, thank you for being on the Journey of Hope, and my name's Rodney.
My privilege.
Hey, listen, we thoroughly enjoyed it, and my name's Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this on the Journey of
This old highway's getting longer. It seems there ain't no end in sight. To sleep would be best, but I just can't.
Hey, everybody. I just want to remind you how you can get in touch with me here at the show. You can either catch me on the Podbean page in the comment section, or you can email me directly at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Well, that's about all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for being here. I want to thank Larry Thomas for his appearance on the show. And I want to thank Mike for hooking me up with Larry. Hey, I want to remind you something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.